As you know, I have a poor memory, so I don't have lots of details to recall from the past. But one memory I have from childhood is that the third candle on the Advent wreath is the pink one. I remember that, and I remember being told that's because it's Gaudete Sunday. And Gaudete means rejoice, and we're rejoicing because Christmas is getting closer. I remember being told that. I don't have any memory of pink vestments in the masses. I don't even know if they were used then. I grew up in the days right after the council, so vestments were all being changed pretty dramatically from year to year. So I have no memory of anything else pink, just one pink candle once a year. And I remember also wondering, well, I can understand pink, I can understand rejoicing as you get closer to Christmas, but why is the fourth candle purple again? If it's rejoicing because you're getting close to Christmas, why do we stop rejoicing the next week? I don't remember asking that question, but I remember wondering why the third one and not the fourth one? Or if it's the third one, why not the fourth one also? We should be getting happier and happier as we get closer and closer to Christmas. Well, sometime in my adult years, I was told that it's not just because Christmas is getting closer, it's also because the season of Advent has a penitential character, and the church being a very wise, having a very good awareness of human psychology knows that you can't do penance all the time. You have to take a break once in a while. So in the middle of Advent, there's this day for rejoicing. Flowers and music and pink or rose. Well, that makes a little bit more sense because then you can understand why we're back to purple or violet in the fourth week, or even not just the fourth week, tomorrow we go back to violet. So the pink is only for one day. So today is a day for rejoicing so that we can dedicate ourselves to the work of preparation, which is not all rejoicing. The preparation, as we have heard in the previous weeks, is a leveling of mountains and a filling in of valleys. It's a time to repent. Preparation largely is repentance. So today we're rejoicing, Gaudete. The name of the Sunday comes from the entrance antiphon of the Mass, which we almost never use because usually we have a hymn, but since we didn't have any music today, I actually read that entrance antiphon, and it's the one from Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, I say it again, rejoice. So that sets the tone for the whole liturgy, rejoice in the Lord always. And the readings of today are full of joy. The reading from Isaiah speaks about the servant who is sent, filled with the Spirit and filled with good news for the poor, the servant who rejoices heartily in the Lord, who says, in my God is the joy of my soul. Then the psalm is Mary's Magnificat. My soul rejoices in my God. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. It's a very joyful song. The second reading, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always. In the gospel, we don't see so much rejoicing because we go back to John the Baptist and his mission. He rejoices. He rejoiced in the womb. But his mission is not to rejoice, but to prepare, to be a voice of preparation. So a big part of John's mission is to declare what he's not. His job is to decrease so that the Lord can increase. And this gospel, like we had last Sunday, makes it very clear that John knows who he is and who he is not. But it starts out almost bluntly saying, this gospel starts out by saying, John came for testimony, to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. He was not the light. John would have loved that description. I'm not the light. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. I'm just a voice. Funny thing is, Jesus said he is Elijah. Jesus said he's a lamp burning brightly. So he's light, but he's not the light. He's only a preparation light. Today's second reading, I'd like to focus on for a moment because it gives us a good Advent instruction. It starts out, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Semper gaudete. First Thessalonians was written before Philippians. When Paul writes Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. But here he just says, rejoice always. And maybe he corrected that when he got to Philippians, because simply saying rejoice always doesn't necessarily convey the kind of rejoicing that we are called to. If you hear this expression, rejoice always, or if someone in the world hears rejoice always, they're likely to think it means party all the time. You know, have a good time. Indulge yourself all the time. Be sure to live it up all the time. That's what it sounds like, rejoice always. And that's not a Christian message, to be a party animal all the time. And that should be very clear in Advent, as it should be clear all the time. We're not simply indulging ourselves all the time with every sort of pleasure. That kind of rejoicing is not good preparation for the Lord. So that's why in Philippians, Paul makes it clearer, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just rejoice always, but rejoice in the Lord always. Gaudete semper in Domino. Rejoice in the Lord. This reading from Thessalonians, though, it doesn't leave us with rejoice always. The very next sentence is, pray without ceasing. It's almost as if Paul were saying, oh, don't get me wrong when I'm saying rejoice always. I'm talking about a joy that comes from being in union with God. And being in union with God means praying without ceasing. Not saying words of prayer all the time, but constantly opening our heart to God, constantly listening to God, constantly returning to the presence of God or being in the presence of God. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks. We were sharing a little bit about this last night. In all circumstances, give thanks. How can we give thanks all the time? He doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He says give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in everything, not for everything. So we don't have to give thanks for being in a pandemic that never ends. We don't have to give thanks that unborn children are being slaughtered. We don't have to give thanks that people are suffering from starvation. But we have to give thanks in these moments because these terrible things are not enough to squash joy in the Lord. They're not more powerful than God. Give thanks in all things, in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's the will of God to give thanks. Well, now, giving thanks is an act of faith, because we don't always see the good that we know God is doing. We know God is doing good. We know He is good. We know He's powerful. We know He's merciful. So we can always give thanks, even if in the moment we don't see what good He's doing in all circumstances. Certainly the pandemic has challenged every believer to look more deeply at what God is doing and to learn how to trust more deeply in Him. And this, I'm sure this message will come up not only today, Gaudete Sunday, but especially when we reach Christmas and everybody will be saying, how can we have a Merry Christmas when we can't even gather with our friends and relatives and can't even travel, can't even go home, we can't even do anything? How can we have a Merry Christmas? Well, we have to know how to have a Christmas with Christian joy, or we don't have any faith at all. So that will come up for sure in the week to come. Or here, because of the Simbangabi, which starts on Wednesday, the Simbangabi novena is a very joyful novena. And anyone who enters into it is going to be facing this challenge: how can I rejoice while we're facing all these restrictions? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. He doesn't say give thanks because you feel good or give thanks because you're happy. Give thanks because it's the will of God. Do not quench the spirit. This is a pretty powerful statement. It has a lot of meaning condensed in there. Quench. To quench means to put out the fire. No, you smother or stop the burning. Do not quench the spirit. The spirit is a fire. The Holy Spirit is fire. Don't smother that fire. Don't put it out. Don't let it go out. Don't let the fire of God's love be quenched in your own heart. If you do, you can't rejoice. You can't rejoice in the Lord unless you have the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, the word of God, and whatever God reveals. Test everything, retain what is good. This is another reminder to us that rejoicing always does not mean rejoicing in a worldly sense. We have to test everything. Some invitations to joy are false invitations. We have to reject them. We only retain what is good. The causes of joy, the causes of rejoicing that are authentic, really lead us to God or strengthen our relationship with God. If something leads us away from God, even if it seems enjoyable, let it go. Refrain from every kind of evil. So we're being instructed here in this second reading in the way of the Christian life, which is also the way of Advent: to rejoice, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, to not quench the spirit, to test everything, to retain what is good, to refrain from what is evil. It's a pretty good summary of our Christian journey. As I was reflecting on this rejoicing, this Gaudete Sunday, and thinking about all the different messages of joy, what came back to me was that movie that we saw not too long ago, Life is Beautiful. Life is Beautiful. It's a comedy set in a very dark period of human history. It's a comedian in a concentration camp. It's a very good reflection on what I think Paul would want us to do here. Rejoice, sure, we rejoice always because of the Lord. We don't rejoice because we're in a concentration camp. We don't rejoice because we're under severe oppression. So that film in which that father maintained a spirit of joy, not because he felt very happy about it, but for the sake of his son, he was able to empty himself so much that he could do extraordinary things to give security and joy to his son. It's a comedy with a very heavy message, but in the end is a success. Huh? The son at the end of the movie says, "We won, we won, we won." And the mother says, "Yes, we won." The father died. But his wife and son rejoice in the victory. So they rejoice. I think it's something to reflect on. How to rejoice in this world, in this valley of tears. How to rejoice in the Lord when we do not yet see the Lord present. We're preparing for the Lord to come. So that's already a joyful message, that the Lord is coming. But when we don't see him or experience him, we still rejoice, not only in anticipation, but in faith that God is here. Not only that God will come, but that he is here now. So with that spirit of faith, that basis for our rejoicing, we can understand the message of Gaudete Sunday.